The 2017-2018 academic year is well underway at Eastern Kentucky University. A little more than 3 weeks ago, the university's president gave his annual convocation address to faculty and staff. Among a long list of recent achievements were some of the physical improvements to the Richmond campus.
Yesterday, we cut the ribbon on the new Martin Hall. That is a remarkable feat, and I want to commend everybody that had a hand in play, our housing, the contractor, the development team, everybody, because if you haven't been inside of the new Martin Hall, it is remarkable and it is spectacular.
On this week's Eastern Standard, Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson. Send your questions, comments, or personal stories now by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. Post on the Facebook page or the WEKU website. In a little while, we'll open the phones as well. It's time for Eastern Standard with EKU President Michael Benson right after the latest news from NPR. From the studios of WEKU on the campus of Eastern Kentucky University, this is Eastern Standard. Hello, I'm John Hingsbergen. Would you believe it's been over 6 months since Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson has joined us for the show? Dr. Michael Benson, I hope we can make it a little bit more of a regular occurrence. Sorry we haven't gotten in here in some time.
John, you've had so many more important people go through here. I'm always happy to be here, but you run a great program, and I tune in regularly, and thank you for the opportunity to be here today.
As always, it's been since February that we've had Dr. Benson on. As always, we're going to encourage our listeners to get on board with your questions, your comments, your stories about Eastern Kentucky University. It's always fun to hear from alumni and others in the community about your impressions of Eastern Kentucky University, your questions about the university. So please feel free to participate in the show. You can do so right now by sending an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. In a little while, we'll put phone calls on the air, but we want to chat for a little bit before we actually go to listeners on the phone. But I will give you that number, 800-621-8890. That's 800-621-8890. And Dr. Benson, a lot has happened since the last time we spoke, which I confirmed that it was back in February when you were last here. The General Assembly passed legislation mandating performance-based funding for state-funded schools. The Board of Regents here at Eastern voted to increase tuition. Custodial and groundskeeping services have been privatized. That would be one way to describe it, I guess, as a way of cutting expenses. There have been numerous facility improvements completed on the Eastern Kentucky University campus. Where do you want to start this morning? A long, long list.
Well, I'll start, too, with the beginning of the new semester and our freshman class, which is our best prepared freshman class in our history. Our enrollment looks pretty solid. We're kind of right where we want to be. You mentioned performance-based funding, which in some ways is still kind of a black box, and its impact is somewhat unknown. They did run a kind of a trial run of where we would be if you factored in the numbers from the last few years, and we came out on the right side of the ledger, so we're encouraged by that. All of the indexes of our performance are trending in the right direction in terms of our retention and graduation rates, and as I mentioned at our convocation, everybody on our campus, John, everybody is a recruiter, is a retainer, and I think I made up a word, a graduator. We're in the business of getting students here who are prepared for college work. If they're not, to make sure we triage them in when they are ready, to help them be successful, to put them in a position to be successful, to retain them and to help them get that degree. It doesn't do us any good, or it doesn't do them any good if they leave here without 120 credit hours of that diploma. We're in the business of graduating those students and getting them into the workforce and getting them ready for employment. So,
what are the metrics being used for the funding of the schools? Has that worked out yet in terms of how the money will be divided?
Oh, there's a whole host. It has to do with first-generation students, underrepresented minority populations, the metrics I mentioned before, STEM degrees, STEM plus H degrees. So we're all kind of in the same pool now. There used to be kind of these bright demarcations between the research ones and the regional universities and even KCTCS. KCTCS is still in its own pool, but we're now in the same pool with the University of Kentucky and the University of Louisville. So the competition is very keen, and we're ready for it. And that's why we've undertaken many of the projects that we have to update our campus to make sure that we're kind of in that competitive marketplace in a position that we can attract students to EKU. Yes, with a price point that is affordable, but also with facilities that will attract students to come to our campus because we have what they want in terms of program offerings, the quality of our faculty and our staff, and the quality of our facilities.
I hate to spend too much of our time talking brick and mortar, but it's always something very visible and something very obvious on the campus. And I think the last time you were here, I went around and took some pictures of things that were happening on campus. And I'm way behind on that right now, but won't you give us a summary of what has been occurring? I mean, things have been torn down. New things have grown up out of the ground. I mean, some of those transformations have occurred very quickly.
Well, in the past 36 months, we had a propitious moment, I would say, of a confluence of events and people and circumstances and funding mechanisms. Yes, we got a nice appropriation from the state, for which we're very grateful. We thank our General Assembly for that second phase of our science building. I want to give a shout-out to our college dean, Dean Ontieno, and his staff. Next week is Science and Mathematics week, and the culmination of that will be the official ribbon cutting on phase two on Friday. But if you haven't been through the new science complex, I invite you to come over. I talked to a student last night. I met with our student alumni ambassadors, and I said, "What's your major?" She said, "I'm a biology pre-med major." I said, "So that means you move from the Moore building over to the new science building." She said, "Yes, it's like I'm in heaven now." I don't think there's a finer, I know there's not a finer facility, science facility anywhere in the state. So that kind of got the ball rolling in terms of our academic facilities. That's 340,000 square feet, $132 million, all, again, appropriated from the state of Kentucky. The P3 projects that we've talked about before are housing projects, the North Hall on the north end of campus, and the replacement for Martin Hall. We had probably, I would say, 40 members of the Martin family, descendants of Robert R. Martin, here early August for the ribbon cutting of that.
And Dr. Martin is a former EKU president.
Yes, here for 16 years, and we felt it all together fitting and proper to keep that name on that building. And I also, in my remarks, made the point that as these buildings come down, we're going to make it a point to place placards with the history of the buildings that were there and the names and the people. As a historian, I think it's very important that we remind people of those buildings. So while Brockton Apartments have gone away and the Todd and Dupree Towers have come down, you will see as these new structures come up, there will be historical placards that tell the story of the buildings that were there. And you can see some of the stone markers are still there. For example, on University Drive, you can still see the Martin, kind of the stone pillars, as it were. And also on Kit Carson, you can see the Brockton ones. So that happened early August. Of course, you saw the demolition of Todd and Dupree, and the structural, the kind of the site work will begin now for the new rec center. The existing rec center will be transformed into academic and some athletic space, health sciences, athletic training, exercise science will move into that space once the new rec center is completed, and that's slated for fall of 2019. Of course, Aramark is working on the construction of our new dining facility. That will be Case Dining Hall. Mrs. Case was the dean of women here, worked for, I think, close to 40 years at EKU. Remarkable career and remarkable woman. Once that opens, then the Powell Student Union will be vacated, and the folks that are in there currently will move into the Moore building because Moore will be vacated by the folks that have moved into the new science building. I know it's kind of
can't follow the game without a program here.
Yeah, I should have some kind of diagram we'll put out on Twitter to show all this. But anyway, once the folks move in to Moore, we can begin the renovation of the Powell building, which will start in January. And as you know, the Powell building was built in 1972, and it really hasn't been touched much. And it's a student union, and so we've told students, you tell us what you would like in there. You want student space, you want space for student groups and organizations? Do you want a bowling alley? Do you want, a dollar theater? Those types of things. We know there will be some food in there, like a Steak and Shake and a Starbucks, et cetera. But places for them to mingle and to during that time in between classes, I think it's very important for them to have a place where they can associate. So once that's done, then, of course, we will hopefully begin the renovation of the Moore Building, and the funding for that, we're still working on that, because the Moore Building is a really integral part of CLASS, the College of Letters, Arts, and Social Sciences, and what we want to do with that college and the space that they need for academic teaching, for office space, for seminar rooms, et cetera. So I think I covered – oh, and the pedway. If you haven't been on the bypass the last couple of days, you've seen a tree company that's begun the prep work and the relocation for Kentucky Utilities, so the pedway over the bypass can begin within the next 30 days. So you'll see the construction, so there can be safe passage for students, for patrons at the Center for the Arts, from Alumni Coliseum and Keene Hall into the center of campus.
How far out does the plan for facilities and capital improvements go? I mean, does it just keep going and going and going from this point forward? We're going to see something happening every year for the next couple of decades?
Well, as I said at convocation, I think we've done probably all the capital improvement projects, the big ones, that we need to do. Yes, we need to rehab more. Wallace needs some attention, the Wallace Building. There's some other buildings, our music building, the Foster Building, the Campbell Building. So we will continue to address those kind of facility needs. But our big projects are really being undertaken now, and those are the big ones that will be done by 2020. So our campus master plan, as you know, John, we finished, nearly a year ago, and we are following it to the letter. And it told us, push the automobile to the perimeter of campus, put your parking to the perimeter of campus, make your campus more pedestrian-friendly. And so that's what we're seeing. And I told students yesterday, this group I met with, you know, walking is a luxury. Walking is something we should enjoy. Walking is something that we want to encourage people to do right in the center of campus to enjoy the campus beautiful. And so parking is going to be a little more remote, and we hope people will continue to use the transit system. But we will continue. We had an increase of almost 1,500 parking spaces this year with the Big E lot, which is, of course, the Leach driving range and some other things. So we've improved parking, not nearly as many complaints this semester as we did last. Excuse me. And but to your point, John, I think we've addressed most of the big capital projects now, and they'll be wrapped up by 2019, 2020.
One of the projects, and we want to talk about it after we take a break here, is the Scholar House on campus. And I know that's a collaborative project. It's not just an EKU program, but others involved in it. And we're going to have a special report on the Scholar House, and we'd like to hear Dr. Michael Benson tell us more about what that's all about. I know it's something you've been talking about for some time on these programs when you've been here with us. President of Eastern Kentucky University, Michael Benson, is with us on this week's Eastern Standard, and you are welcome to get on board. Please send your email questions by email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. Speaking of tweets, we'll have a little fun with Twitter in a little while in the program as well. But we're interested in hearing from you. Send a tweet at WEKUEST. Write to us, WEKUEasternstandard@gmail.com. Or go ahead and pick up the phone and call 800-621-8890. What are your questions? What are your observations, comments about Eastern Kentucky University? And how about some memories from alumni, if you happen to be a member of the alumni of Eastern Kentucky University and within the range of our program this morning? Eastern Standard continues on the WEKU stations. Football season, so the fight song appropriate to get on the air here as President Michael Benson is with us for this week's Eastern Standard on the WEKU stations. Dr. Benson, thank you so much for being with us, and we again hope our listeners will come on board with some questions, comments, or personal stories. You mentioned you just got a tweet in response to the discussion of facilities.
This Mary Meehan said the freshman 15 would have been the freshman 45 if I had had Steak and Shake on my campus.
Oh, that was Mary. Okay. Well, actually, Dr. Benson, speaking of Mary Meehan, Let's go ahead and go to a report that she produced for us, a new program that we mentioned briefly a moment ago, designed to support students who are single parents, has begun on campus at Eastern Kentucky University. As WEKU's Mary Meehan reports, Scholar House is about much more than housing.
The fresh paint on each apartment door is a bright yellow, teal, or purple. But just outside the wide, grassy courtyard, the patches of reddish mud along the sidewalks show that construction on the Scholar House and the EKU parking garage is not over quite yet. EKU student April Akari is already settling into her new two-bedroom apartment. As we are talking, her three kids are playing, toys are scattered everywhere, and of course, the most favored make noise. Akari is 23. She has attended EKU before. She enrolled after excelling in high school. She hoped to study forensic science, but during her first semester, she discovered she was pregnant. Still, she tried to stay in school.
So I just wanted to, like, finish it out, which that didn't happen, you know. But I just wanted to get an education so that I could support my kids, and I knew that I could. I wouldn't have to, you know, bounce from job to job, you know, fast food and factories and stuff like that.
One of her biggest challenges was transportation, even though she lived in Richmond.
My mom was my only means of transportation, and she was, like, helping my brother and my aunt get back and forth to work and school also. So that didn't work out because of that.
But Akari heard about the Scholar House and was one of the first to put in an application. She wanted to give her children stability and show them how important education can be. Melissa Gross is director of EKU's Scholar House. Over the 10 years the program was being developed, the focus has always been on helping student parents become self-sufficient.
It's the balance of trying to be a parent and working some and just doing the day-to-day.
To help with that balance, there's a daycare facility and study room on the property, individual monthly meetings to troubleshoot any kind of issues, and the parents are encouraged also to support each other. The unexpected always happens with kids.
So, you know, many of them, I've got to go to class, it's all figured out, and you wake up the next morning and your daughter has a temperature of 102, and what do you do? And how do you manage that? And they are great problem solvers, all overachievers, and that's what we want. We know they'll be successful.
But the Scholar House staff are available to help with resources like tutoring. They also connect the parents with nonprofits that can help with day-to-day needs like food assistance or furniture. Gross says if parents are successful, their children will be successful as well.
We believe that Scholar House is the way to reach two generations at a time and push them towards self-sufficiency. That's the ultimate goal for everybody.
As Gross says goodbye to Akari, a member of that next generation, her daughter Christabel breaks her silence for the first time.
Can you say bye, Christabel? Say bye-bye.
Bye. And for Gross, getting to be around kids like Christabel is one of the perks of her job.
My favorite part of this has literally been the noise of the kids. I love that. Because when they're together, they're all laughing. They're always fun, glad to see each other. I can't wait till that lawn is full of somebody kicking a soccer ball from one end to the other.
The Scholar House serves both EKU students and a few students from other colleges nearby. There's a total of 38 apartments. Most have been filled, but Gross says there are still a few spots available. I'm Mary Meehan for WEKU.
Eastern Standard continues on WEKU, and Dr. Michael Benson, president of Eastern Kentucky University, is with us in the studio today. And Dr. Benson, talk a little bit about Scholar House. You've mentioned it numerous times. We learned a lot about that in that report prepared by Mary Meehan. The program there's a 10-year-old program. It's something that's been underway for that long.
Well, it's been around even longer than that. But first, let me commend Mary. I thought it was an excellent report. And the line from the director that this is a two-generational impact. You think about it, you impact the single parent, but studies show that that children, their level of education is inextricably tied to the level of education of their parents. And if they see that example of their parent making those sacrifices and working hard and going back to college and earning that degree, they're going to do the same thing. And what a great example that the woman in the story is to her three children. And I was so excited when they came to me, Kentucky River Foothills, because this was a collaboration between a nonprofit, Kentucky River Foothills, the city of Richmond, the federal government, the university, some other partners, and there are scholar houses at other campuses, the University of Kentucky. They have a couple at University of Louisville. I believe there's one at Western. There was not one here. And we provided the land. That was kind of our skin in the game, as it were. But everything else is provided, the cost of construction. As you know, you have to maintain a 12-credit-hour load for that semester. And once you're done with your degree, you have to vacate and make room for the next person. But what a tremendous opportunity is there, John, to have that chance to go to school and not have to worry about all the things that students have to worry about. You know, the child wakes up with a 102-degree fever. As a father of five, I know what I go through as a parent. My wife goes through as a parent. And so these individuals now have that housing. They now have that support system, if you will, in place to allow them to finish that degree, which, John, is that college education is the one thing that's going to impact their lives and future generations more than anything else.
Now, that facility, the Scholar House facility right in the center of campus, is still under construction, right?
Yeah.
Some of it is open.
It's open, and as the report said, the 38 apartment units and a few are still available. The application is I think, online, and you can get to it. But we're going to have a ribbon cutting tomorrow, and it has its own separate parking with it gated, and it's secured. And as I said, we provide the land, and we were happy to do so, and we're just so pleased to be a partner and provide this resource for these students.
Eastern Standard is an interactive program. You're welcome to get on board, encouraged to get on board with your question, comment, or personal story. Write to us, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest, or give us a call, 800-621-8890, to be part of this week's Eastern Standard with EKU President Michael Benson. We talked a little bit about facilities, and the Scholar House program is, of course, something far beyond, as Mary Meehan said, beyond housing and beyond facilities. Other things happening on the campus at EKU. Did not get a chance to attend this year's convocation address, which occurred just about 3 weeks ago on campus. Tradition, campuses, colleges open up with the president making an address to faculty and staff. A long, long list of accomplishments as well as projects underway. And I know, Dr. Benson, you talked about a Thomas Friedman book that you have been reading and you recommended to faculty and staff. Tell us a little bit about what that's all about and how that impacts your position and your work as president.
I had Dean Gardner, Bettina Gardner, tell me one time how much she appreciated the fact that I read. And I think she said it somewhat tongue-in-cheek as the dean of the library, but I do try to read as often as I can. And a book was sent to me a few months ago that I made my summer book, Thomas Friedman, whom I know attended my same college at Oxford. And the first book I read of his was From Beirut to Jerusalem. Really captured my and kind of set afire my passion for the Middle East and propelled me to study what I did. Long story short, when I got the book and I read the preface, and because the title is somewhat intriguing, thank you for being late, because I have a habit, I need to be a little more punctual, and I thought, well, what's he getting at? And he sets it up by saying he had gone to breakfast and was meeting some friends, and they were late, and they came and apologized profusely for being late. And he said while he was waiting for them, he put his phone aside, and he just sat there and thought and reflected and was not distracted from electronic devices. And in our society that is kind of propelled forward at hyper speed with so many advancements. And he talks a lot about that. He talks about Moore's Law and the microchip and the iPhone and how it's transformed society and millennials and how they have all this information literally at their fingertips, that we need to kind of pause and we need to talk to each other and we need to focus on those human relationships. And I use the example to wrap up of a professor that I had at Brigham Young named Stan Taylor, who was the department chair of political science once I had finally settled on a major and changed it three or four different times, who, regardless of when I went to see him and regardless of the workload that he had, always put things aside and met with me. And I look back now and I think, man, I had quite a bit of chutzpah to stop it as often as I did and impinge on his time as often as I did. But he had a profound impact on me. And I wrote him an email after convocation. And he's since retired and has been doing all sorts of consulting and writing books and so forth. And I just thanked him. I said, Stan, you don't know what a positive impact you've had on my life and my career. And I want to thank you. And he wrote back, and it was a great exchange. But I just encourage everybody to be like Stan, because he set an example for me that I hope we can replicate and imitate with our students. My mother used to say, be where your feet are. Don't be distracted by all the other things that are out there. And believe me, there's a lot of noise out there. But, focus on what's before you and on those relationships. So
being in the now, being in the present.
Now. Yeah, exactly.
The convocation address, of course, dealing with a variety of issues and, of course, academic matters as well as the facility things, practical matters such as parking, summer energy savings. The campus this year, for the first time, I guess, did an initial project trying to adjust its use of air conditioning and power during the summer. How did that work out?
Patrick McGee sent me an initial report that our savings, which resulted from an extended work day on Monday through Thursday and then shortening it on Friday, resulted in savings that took the equivalent of 37 homes off the Richmond grid. So I'm not sure how many kilowatt hours that saved. I have to go back and look at my email from Patrick, but it went well. It went very well. Now, there were some Friday afternoons where I had to stay in the office, and once the air got shut off, it got a little uncomfortable, so I'd turn on the fan and open the windows. But we're going to continue to do things like that as we march inexorably toward our goal of carbon neutrality. I think 2037 is the date that we've set for ourselves, and you may think, boy, that's a long way off, but it's a long, arduous process to get there, especially when we have the infrastructure that's aging like we do, and the fact that we still do use some coal on campus and some other things. But it was a good first run at it. You've probably seen the new recycling bins around campus. The fact that we're trying to get people to use mass transit and to walk, we're putting more bike racks in and get people to use bikes to campus and so forth, and working with the city to see if we can get more bike lanes around Richmond. All these things, John, I hope will make us even more green as a campus.
Now, there's one issue that I think is out there in the community that has been a little bit controversial in terms of the university's efforts to conserve, maybe to save money and become a little bit more efficient. I know that there was a move toward privatization of custodial and groundskeeping services on campus. Was that the only program or the only employees that were affected by that approach? I guess the folks who provided those services were transferred or allowed to get new positions with the company that's now providing the services, Aramark.
Right. Aramark's been on campus for quite some time providing our dining services. And when we were faced with our cut last year, we looked really hard at our budget in areas where we could reduce. And the board gave us a pretty clear charge of what we needed to reduce. And it was a pretty stark reality. And so we put out an RFP to see where we could have some additional savings, and that was one area where it was determined by the board, and we were given direction that this is something they wanted us to do, so we put it out there. And the savings were, yes, an annual savings, but in the long term, in the aggregate, it's quite a bit more savings. So it's worked out fairly well. I mean, I've talked to several of those employees, and from what I gather, there's some that are still not as happy as they were. But many are happy. They're very happy. They're in new uniforms. They have a new opportunity, a new retirement plan. One thing that I'm really proud of, John, was that we were able to preserve the tuition benefit, and that's one thing that we insisted on. So those employees still are able to take advantage of the employee the tuition benefit for 4 years for themselves and their dependents.
So that one effort to save money and to become a little bit more efficient, more business-like, I guess, would be one approach to one way to describe that approach. Are there other efforts, anything similar like that coming down the pike that you can tell us about?
Well, we continue to look at, of course, our enrollment, because that drives so much of the revenue that we're taking in. Our obligations as it relates to the pension system and our KERS contribution is something that we keep a very keen eye on. And so we're looking at ways that we can continue to conserve. We went through a very difficult, as you know, program review last year. We've kind of hit pause on that for this year. And we're doing our best this year to really focus on enrollment management. I think that's going to be our primary area of focus this year, is what can we do to grow the campus? What can we do to expand our offerings and expand our reach? As I mentioned at the outset, competition is keen. We're going head-to-head, just like we have with Morehead and Western and Northern, but now we're going head-to-head with UK, just like we have in the past, but even more keenly, and University of Louisville and the regional campuses that are in our around our borders. So I would say, John, as opposed to looking at more cuts, we're focused on how we can expand, how we can grow, how we can kind of enlarge our footprint as a campus.
I mean, Eastern, I guess, at one time was known as a teacher's college, and that was its primary focus. And, mm-hmm. of course, the justice and safety program are important programs. Nursing, I understand, some of the health care careers are very popular on campus. And you mentioned science. What is the main focus, if someone were to say Eastern Kentucky University is a good, what kind of school?
Well, I think you touched on some of those really marquee programs. One that you left out was aviation, because we're the only one left in Kentucky. We had the Secretary of Economic Development on campus just 10 days ago, and we talked about what partnerships we can do with UPS and with regional carriers and how the Commonwealth can continue to invest in a program that nobody else offers. The pilot shortage that, as you know, is incredibly acute and is going to get even worse worldwide. How can EKU be one of those institutions that helps to address it? So the programs that you mentioned that we do well, what can we do even better? How can we kind of put more real estate between our competitors? John, we're never going to have a law school. We're never going to have the expensive engineering programs or medical programs that other schools have. But the things that we do well, how can we do them even better? And how can we continue to attract and retain the very best faculty and keep them happy, pay them what they're worth, and the staff, and make Eastern Kentucky all that it can be.
In the next segment of the program, we're glad to hear from you if you want to offer your observations on what Eastern is doing well or what you'd like to see at Eastern Kentucky University. President Michael Benson with us for this week's Eastern Standard. 800-621-8890. Lines are open. You're welcome to call in now with your questions, your comments, your personal stories. 800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com, or send a tweet at WEKUEST. And speaking of tweets, we'll be right back with something a little unique this week. On this edition of Eastern Standard, we're trying something a little different. I thought, why don't we have a little fun? President Michael Benson is known for being on Twitter quite a bit. And actually, there's always a lot of activity from his EKU Prez Twitter account. And we thought, well, let's take a look at what's on the president's Twitter feed this week. And I know, Dr. Benson, I asked you to open up your phone and your Twitter feed. But I know the most recent one I found when I printed some things off someone posted, the EKU Success Center posted. If you've ever wondered who takes the photos at EKU Prez tweets, he does his own photography work. And then you responded, darn right, no Twitter ghostwriters or photo takers here.
So yesterday, it was yesterday afternoon, and I met with the College of Education faculty over at Model. So I was swinging back around and coming up University Drive, and I thought, well, I'll go take a look at the demolition site. And so I peeked over the fence and took a couple photographs, and somebody was taking a picture of me taking a picture. So they sent out that tweet. And yes, I handle my own account. I know some presidents or some people have ghostwriters. I don't do that because I like to kind of control my own content. So I was glad that people recognize that I do get to control it. I'm amazed that students contact me about the things that they do. And I've used it now, John, as a way to send messages to facilities, to housing, to even academic affairs with questions. And it's really, I think, a pretty effective way to get issues addressed. We had an issue in Grand Campus with a housing and maintenance issue that arose just 24 hours ago. And through EKU Housing and EKU Facilities, I sent that tweet on to them. And within a few hours, it was addressed, and we got it taken care of. So that's how students communicate these days. And so I've used this medium, I think, as well as I can to communicate, and students seem to like it.
Another recent tweet on your feed, very proud to participate in today's Unity Rally and thank faculty, staff, and students who attended to support our hashtag EKU community, hashtag EK United at the Ravine. Before we went on the air, I asked President Benson, do we have any dreamers on this campus? And I understand that this Unity Rally was in support of dreamers and others on campus?
It was really in support of everybody. It was a show of support for all students. The recent news, I think, was very unsettling for a lot of our students.
And the president's cancellation of the DACA program.
Correct. And we wanted a very demonstrative show of support for everyone and to reiterate that EKU is a place that is welcoming. It's a place where we extend the hand of friendship and fellowship and say, you are welcome here, and we're here to help you succeed. And it was a great turnout yesterday, and I thought very important for us to do it. I said to Christy Middleton, I think we should try to do this every single year, to have a Unity Rally, a rally that sets the tone in the fall semester, to state unequivocally that EKU is a place where you're welcome, and regardless of who you are or what you look like, you're welcome here.
President Michael Benson with us for this week's Eastern Standard on WEKU. And we do have lines open at 800-621-8890 if you'd like to be part of the program with your questions, your comments, your personal stories. And let's go ahead and talk to, I guess this is Lauren from Richmond. Is this Lauren?
Yes, hi.
Go right ahead.
I had a question about some of the renovations being made on campus. It's already not the most accessible campus for those with disabilities. And with parking moving to the exterior, I was wondering if there were any extra accommodations that were going to be added to make it easier for those who can't enjoy a walk around the campus beautiful to get around, since their cars will be so far away.
Thank you for your question, Lauren. We've tried our best to, and of course, as you know, we have requirements for handicapped accessible spots, and whether it's an alumni coliseum or right next there to the Keith Building or places around kind of in the center of campus, as we've had to close off University Drive as they're starting with the demolition and hauling some of that stuff off, some of those lots are temporarily closed, but they will reopen with more of those accessible places. But I'd encourage you to, for example, the Keith lot, some of the spaces over there next to the Weaver Building, and over there next to the Whitlock Building. We're going to extend some more parking along the street there. But that's a very good point, and I will check with our parking and our facilities people to make sure we have the requisite number of handicapped accessible places and access. I do get questions periodically about ramps and doors and to make sure that all students have ADA access to our facilities and to the parking. But I appreciate your question. I'll make sure that that we're on top of that.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Lauren, thanks for calling and being part of our program, 800-621-8890. The number, plenty of time for you to call in if you'd like to interact with President Michael Benson, the president of Eastern Kentucky University. One thing I would be neglecting if I don't bring up this issue, there's a big football game coming up.
There is. I've
UK.
Heard about that. Yeah. I took my two of my sons out to Bowling Green this weekend, and boy, our kids really played well. We have a quarterback that can really fling it around, and I was very, very pleased with how hard our team played, and Coach Eldon and his staff had them really prepared very well. This is a chance. I read in the paper the other day, we've only played UK five times. I mean, 30 miles separates our campuses, but we've only played This will be the fifth time that our campuses have played each other.
I'm not the most knowledgeable about such things, but explain to us again why that is the case. We're in very different divisions, aren't we, in terms of the—
We're FCS football championship subdivision. They're FBS football bowl subdivision. They're in a conference where they get $40 million a year from the Southeast Conference. We don't get nearly that much from the Ohio Valley Conference. So this will be a revenue game for us. I'm not exactly sure how much they're paying us, but it's a substantial amount of money. 2 years ago, we were up 2 touchdowns with about 7.5 minutes to go, and unfortunately they tied it up at the end and then beat us in overtime. So I do not think they're going to take us lightly, and we're excited about the chance to go up there and show them how well we can play.
You say this will be a revenue game. What happens to the funds that do come in as a result of this game?
They go to the athletic department and go to all the kind of needs within athletics for all the teams, so not just for football.
I mean, the visibility of playing UK is, I think, a big deal. Of course, a lot of times one must admit that you can go to a lot of Eastern events and see as much blue in the crowd as you see of the maroon. What does this do for the status of Eastern Kentucky University athletics to actually take on big guys like this?
Well, Coach Elder was on the news the other night, and he said it drives him nuts to see students and others in other university gear on campus, and I concur. I mean, if you go to Lexington, that's fine, but we're in Richmond, and EKU is our university here. It's a big deal. I mean, every story in the Herald Leader this week has been about the game, and because we're playing it, we're on the front page of the sports section, and the stories about our student athletes and all the side stories. You know, Tim Boyle, the transfer quarterback from Connecticut, great article about him yesterday and how he ended up coming here and why he came here. So it's great exposure for us, and we're very excited about the prospect of Saturday's game.
WEKU's Stu Johnson, our reporter, in working on stories for this week regarding the game, wants to know, does this game help in recruitment for Eastern?
Oh, I think definitely. I mean, when a member of the coaching staff goes into a recruit's home and says, you'll have a chance to play at Kroger Field, the stadium formerly known as Commonwealth, you'll play in front of, 70,000 fans. This is on national TV on the SEC network. Last week we played the defending Conference USA champions. So anytime you can play competition like this outside of our conference schedule, I think it's a very good thing, and yes, it does help with recruiting.
There's still time for you to be part of our program with Eastern Kentucky University President Michael Benson. 800-621-8890. What's on your mind regarding Eastern Kentucky University? What questions would you like to have answered? What observations would you like to make? How about alumni with some stories of your time on campus? Anybody not been to campus in a while and have made a visit recently? That would be an interesting observation. I would think that if it's been more than a couple of years since you've been to this campus, it's a very different place.
I was going to mention too, John, I said at the convocation, we went successfully through our SACS reaccreditation, and I made note of the fact that we were not written up on any of our faculty qualifications, which is a really big deal. There are only 7% of the schools that went through the reaffirmation process through the last cycle that fit that category. 93% of the schools have some catch or some recommendation relative to faculty. We're part of the 7% that did not. So that speaks to the quality of our faculty. The second thing I want to mention, if you paid attention to Washington Monthly, they talked about schools for the best bang for the buck. In the South, the number one best bang for the buck is our sister school to the South, 10 miles down the road, Berea College. They were number one. We were the second public institution in Kentucky. Only Murray State outranked us. And so to have...
It's hard to beat free.
Yeah, it is. It is. And Berea is such a unique model and a great institution. And we're proud of our association with them. But to be second second on that list, only behind Murray State, and to have those two institutions right here in Madison County, I think, speaks to the quality of life that we enjoy. Thank you. Thanks to the two higher ed schools right here in our backyard.
800-621-8890. Send us an email, wekueasternstandard@gmail.com. Send a tweet at wekuest. Feel free to tag I don't know all the terminology, but you can, I guess, tag President Benson at wekueasternstandard. at EKUPres with a Z. So feel free to get on board and interact with us for this week's show. President Benson, we're a few months away from the next session of the General Assembly, the Kentucky Legislature. Are there some issues on the mind of Eastern Kentucky University and things that are going to be a big concern for this year's General Assembly session?
Well, three things. One, we had John Chilton, who's the state budget director, on campus 2 weeks ago, and he talked about revenue projections. And anytime he talks about that and there's a proposed projected deficit, that is very concerning because that could mean either a mid-year cut or next year we're going to kind of start in the red, and that does not bode well for any of us. Number two, the special session that the governor's been talking about that will address tax reform and the pension issue. Those are kind of two separate things, and he's talked about maybe doing one of each, or I don't know if they want to tackle them both together. Those are two very serious kind of policy implication issues that have got to be addressed. And number three, of course, moving forward, what is our budget going to look like? We have a Council of Presidents meeting next week in Louisville to tie it into the trustee conference. This is the biannual conference. And by the way, a shout out to Matt Winslow. He will be honored, and I can't say anything more about that, but next week he will receive a nice honor from the CPE for his scholarship and his work. Mm-hmm. Tied into that conference, we'll get together and visit about the budget. So we're focused on that budget and advocating strong for higher education, not as a private benefit, John, but as a public good. We all benefit as citizens of the state from an educated populace.
You mentioned the pension system, and I know at the time of the convocation you commented about that presidents of the universities are talking about the possibility of something for universities that would be a separate system from the existing public employee pension systems.
Well, let me back up a little bit and say what we propose is a we like to be part of the solution, and part of that solution. I mean, you can hear, I don't know if you saw the paper today, Speaker Hoover said that touching the current system for the current retirees is going to be difficult. So you're hearing a lot of different voices within leadership, within the Republican Party. There are a whole host of things that have to be addressed. My point is that we want to be part of the solution. And for new employees moving forward, what does that look like? Will that be a defined contribution plan, will be a defined benefit plan? So it's still being worked out. We're still around the table discussing it, and we'll discuss it again next week.
Another relatively controversial thing on campus at Eastern Kentucky University, there was a tuition increase. I guess there's some kind of increase, I guess, every year. But earlier this year, the Board of Regents voted to increase undergraduate tuition by 5%, or I think the estimate was $214 per semester. In addition, meal plan costs have gone up. Any reaction? How has been the reaction to those increases?
Well, there is a direct correlation with our reduction of state support and our increase of our tuition. And it's basically been the cost of higher education has been put upon the backs of our students, and we're trying hard to advocate that we would like to see that tuition increase be kept at the very bare minimum this year. We've got board members, Board of Regents, that have told us they want to see a very, very minimal increase. The CPE, we continue to discuss that. The legislature, of course, will keep a keen eye on what we say and what we do, but we don't want to let them off the hook, as it were, for their support. So we're going to continue, John, once the gavel drops or is banged there in January, where David McFadden and his team and our team is going to be up in Frankfort a lot advocating, meeting with our state representatives to support higher education kind of writ large in Kentucky, but more specifically, of course, Eastern Kentucky University.
I'm sorry for jumping around here, but I know you talked about this unity rally and President Trump's cancellation of the deferred action for childhood arrivals. How many DACA dreamers are on campus here at Eastern?
We do not know because that's not a number that we keep track of. That's kind of a that's just something they have to self-identify, and that's not something that we keep track of. So what I said yesterday at the rally is that EKU is a place for everyone, and access to education is a paramount concern to our institution, and it should be to everyone in this country. And we're very disappointed in the news, but we will continue to forge ahead and provide opportunities to everyone that wants to come to EKU.
I know, I guess, when we last spoke some months ago, we were right in the midst of the discussion of the president's efforts to restrict travel to the United States. And there were concerns that universities would be impacted because either students or faculty coming in might be affected by those restrictions. I guess some of those restrictions are in place now. Have we had any effects from that?
I'll have to check with I know of one faculty member that had an issue and we got it resolved, thankfully. But I do not know of any student issues to speak of. I can't speak specifically, and I'd have to check with our international student office.
President Michael Benson is here with us on this week's Eastern Standard, and we are out of time for this week's show. But we are going to plan, and we're going to get right with your office, and we're going to get on the schedule for a show before before the winter break,
sure.
The holiday break.
Absolutely.
This year, so we can catch up on what is going on campus. Folks who want to interact with you on a regular basis, they can follow you on Twitter and interact with you on Twitter, and how else?
You can send me an email at president@EKU or michael.benson@EKU.edu. I've got open mail, open door, open phone policy, but Twitter's a good way to do it, and I try and respond as quickly as I can. But we are grateful for the support. John, it's a good time to be at EKU. Great time to be a colonel.
Excellent. Thank you, President Michael Benson, for being with us on this week's
Eastern
Standard.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Our producers for Eastern Standard are Brian Burkhart and Zach Redding, with assistance from Noah Day. We encourage you to tune in for this program rebroadcast on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. The show will be available later this afternoon, probably within the next hour or so, as a podcast on the website at weku.fm. And, of course, you can interact with us. Follow Eastern Standard on Twitter at WEKUEST. Send us an email, weku eastern standard@gmail.com. For Eastern Standard, I'm John Hingsbergen. Thanks for tuning in.